If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Luke 2 today, Luke chapter 2. We are in the season of Advent, which is a season with images such as light in the darkness. It is a season of waiting. It's a season of hopefully becoming aware of our longings and being clear about the actual source of those. We wait in between the two arrivals of Christ. He came once as a child in weakness, and he'll come again as a warrior in strength. And it's a weird longing for that day that he comes again and makes things new. But we also look back on his arrival as a child, and that is beautiful. And it's not just a countdown to Christmas. It is a season of reflection. It's a season of stillness, hopefully, in the midst of the chaos. It's a bit of an act of rebellion in a world, in a season that is trying to rob you of quiet, to be intentional about seeking stillness. So we've been working through, there's a lot of singing around Christmas, but also Advent as well. That's just not a modern thing. Like in the Bible, there's a bunch of people who burst into song or write songs. And this week we're going to look at a song by the angels. It's technically maybe not a song, but that's okay. It's close enough. I love it. And so it's, even if you didn't grow up in church or maybe you're not familiar with the Bible at all, you may know this passage, from 60 years ago this past week. It first aired at Charlie Brown Christmas. And in it, there's this amazing scene where Linus, the guy who carries a blanket around, the little kid who carries a blanket around with him everywhere he goes, a security blanket. Charlie Brown says, "I don't know what the meaning of Christmas is." And Linus steps out on the stage and begins to recite this. And the reason I love it, and the reason I mention it, and the reason I talk about it all the time is just there's this moment when he talks about not being afraid, and you see Linus in that movie drop the blanket. It's just this wild little moment that I am obsessed with. Now he picks it back up, but in this moment of talking about not being afraid, he just, I think it's had to have been intentional because it's too perfect. And so this is a pretty famous scene. Let's read it. It says this in Luke 2. I want to start in verse 8. "And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field." Okay, sorry. Jesus has been born. Right? That's what's happening. John the Baptist has been born. Jesus has been born. And so now he is born. And this is what's happened right after this. It says this. "In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.' When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them." I love this scene so much for many, many reasons. I love this scene. I think the first thing that I love, that strikes me about this, well, it's just a bizarre thing, right? It's a bizarre thing. But what I love about it is that I love that heaven breaks in. I love that. I love that people are just going about their life and heaven just breaks in. Like, I think that is so beautiful, whatever there is. I think so often about heaven, or I have in my life thought of heaven as this, you know, way out there thing, the place where God rules is so far away in distance. Or maybe I think about it as so far away in time, right? And then you have this scene where the kingdom of heaven is always right there, always about to break in. It's almost like there's this really thin veil between the two, and sometimes heaven will just burst through. Jesus talks about that, right? When he comes, he begins preaching. He's like, hey, you need to repent because the kingdom of heaven is at its hand. And then wherever he goes, what do you see happen? Heaven break in. Everywhere Jesus goes, the lame walk, the blind see, the mute speak, the hungry are fed. Everywhere he goes, that's what heaven breaks in wherever he is. And so I just love that kind of realigning of my thinking of heaven is not so far away. It's somehow near, very, very near, and at times breaks in. And the place where God's will is done is not so far away, but one day it's going to invade all the way, and we're going to see all the work. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful, I just love that image. His power, his angels, his salvation is really always at hand. Hebrews, the guy who wrote Hebrews, whoever wrote Hebrews, end of his letter, he's encouraging people, and he says this. He says, hey, don't neglect hospitality. Because there are people who have entertained angels and didn't even know it. That God's kingdom is around us, and the way that we encounter it might be unexpected. It may be that we are entertaining angels unaware, is what he says. If it's near, if it's, well, how do we then encounter it, right? So what we find is, as you live this Christian life, you find that these places where you are aware of God's interacting, his power at work in our lives, the places that you encounter heaven breaking in, usually they're in prayer, in quiet and stillness, and all of a sudden God speaks to you and moves in your heart and shapes you, or you encounter it very often in worship. I've been singing songs and heard someone else sing a thing and just been so moved and transformed. It's in worship that it happens. It happens in community so often as you see people forgive and love, and you experience all these things, and your life is transformed in those ways, and that's heaven breaking in, God's power entering into our lives, the normal rhythms, supernatural things happening, overruling the rhythms of God's created order to transform things to be like he would have them be. And so heaven is near in some way. God, where the God's realm breaking into our realm and overtaking it. And so we wait for the day when that happens completely. So I just love the nearness, the suddenness of heaven breaking in here. I also absolutely obsess with the fact that it's shepherds that he talks to. Like, I'm just obsessed with that, right? So the guy, this most important person in the world at this time, right? Most, you know, biggest deal in the world, besides Jesus, would be this guy named Caesar Augustus, right? He'd been given the title Augustus, which means like just supreme leader, right? He rules all of the known world, right? He's the head of Rome. He's the first Roman emperor. And he's alive at this time, ruling in Rome, and angels don't go tell him. They don't show up to the Sanhedrin or to the Pharisees and go, hey guys, guess what? The religious leaders, hey, guess what? The king is born. They show up to just dudes doing their job. Like, they're just on the job, and they show up, and they're like, we got great news for you. Like, I love that our God tells ordinary people, hey, this isn't just good news for the wealthy. This is not just good news for the powerful. As a matter of fact, they probably aren't going to listen, and it'll end up not being good news. But those of you who have been longing for this, those of you who have been waiting for this type of redemption, guess what? It's here. ordinary people, available to all, have good news of great joy for all people who will listen and respond. And he shows up to ordinary people. This is a gift, not for just the people who have succeeded, not just the people that life has put in positions of power, for people just doing their job. I mean, shepherds were not like the top of the like career. Nobody's like working their way up to shepherd. And that's who Jesus shows up to. It's like sometimes we just feel like we have to pull our life together into some kind of semblance before God does something in our life. Nope, never been that way, never will be. It's for people just doing the thing that God has for them, doing the things in front of them, and I adore that. Good news for all people, not just for the ones who think they have it all together. In fact, they probably won't listen. Adore that. It's a message of great joy. This one angel shows up and says, hey, listen, don't be afraid. They kind of freak out. And he's like, hey, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I have good news for you. And he delivers the good news that there's the Savior has been born. And then all of a sudden, a bunch of angels appear singing this song. I wonder if they got in trouble. That's how, probably not. They didn't. They were doing God's will. But in my mind, it feels like a thing. Like they're all standing there watching and they hear the good news and they just jump out and it scares them. You know, I think it feels like a sudden thing that was almost unintentional, but they could not keep themselves from, it says in the Bible that the Jesus, God becoming flesh and dwelling among us is a thing angels longed to look into. It was something that blew the mind of angels. They're like, how can this be? How is he going to do this? How is he going to accomplish this? He seems so invested in these humans. How is he going to do this? He becomes, and it feels like the angel, he becomes a baby. I'm going to finish my sentences. He's going to become a baby, and he's going to arrive in a manger, and the angels want to see this, and they're standing on the edge, and when they hear that one an angel announced, he just jumps out. And he probably was like, dude, this is my job. Why? You guys weren't invited. And the angels shown around them. I love so much this message of joy for ordinary people just doing their job. I mean, so the angel shows up, sings this song. And the content of the, well, I just wonder, I mean, what do you think the first thing they said was? I mean, like, they probably couldn't see for a second, right? Because it's dark, and these angels show up, and there's light everywhere. And so, like, the disappears are probably, like, rubbing their eyes, like, and the first thing they did was probably what? One time, years ago, I was going to a concert. We were there earlier, hanging out, we were downtown, and a buddy of mine, walking up an empty parking lot, walking to where, downtown, to the place we're going to see the show, but it was early in the day, and all of a sudden, a guy on a motorized cooler. It, like, you know the one with the coolers with the wheels? Except with a steering wheel, him sitting, just a cooler, like an igloo cooler, he just goes flying past us. And he said, did you see that? And I said, see what? Yeah? But they had just a sanity check, right? They had to have been like, the angels appear, but did you see that? Yeah, I saw that. Like, what are we supposed to do? Well, I guess we got to go to Bethlehem and see what these angels are talking about. We have to go see. And they have to go see because they're so curious about what's going on because it's a message of peace. The content of the message, the content of what they said is peace. Fear not, bring you good news, a great joy for all the people. This day unto you is born in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ Lord. This shall be a sign. You found him wrapped in swaddling clothes. Huge host, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those whom he's well pleased. The content of the song is there is one who has been born, and somehow this one will bring peace. Yeah, like who doesn't want a little more peace and quiet? You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, peace and quiet, but also more than peace and quiet, that's good. The truth is, I need more. I need peace in some of my relationships. Maybe you don't believe this, but it's true. I got beef with some people. I know I'm pastor in the last book, but I got issues. People got issues with me, and I got issues with them. And I need some resolution in some of my relationships. I need peace there. I need the absence of conflict. There's this tension in their hearts in some of the relationships that I have. Always have been, and I'm assuming until Jesus comes back, there always will be. But there's hearts in, I need peace, not just peace and quiet, I need peace in my relationships. And the reality is, even if I had peace in those relationships, right? The truth is, I don't know that I'll ever have relationships, there'll be relationships that don't have some kind of conflict, because I need peace in my own thinking and feeling. You know what I mean? Like, that has nothing to do with anybody else. I tried running a little while ago. I was going to run for a little bit. I was going to do this, and I committed to it. And it was like 3 or 4 weeks in. I was like, I can't do this. And here's the number one thing that I hate about running. There's a lot of things that I hate about running, by the way. We don't have time for me to talk about the number of things that I hate about running. But the number one thing that I found that I hated so much about running was being alone with my thoughts. That's not okay. Nobody needs me to have an hour by myself just thinking my thoughts. It was rough. Like, I need to be reading a book where it's like having an argument with some dead author. You know what I mean? Like, I need to be doing, like, and so that was just so hard. I have issues in my own thinking. I need peace in my thoughts. I need peace in my feeling and in my heart. I need peace from the wounds that have accumulated over time. I need peace from all the ways that I've let people down. All the ways that I've not been enough, and all the ways that I've hurt people. Not just peace in my relationships. I need peace here. And then also, though, there's other thing, and this comes up in running. I can't shake this sense that this life that we're living matters. That it's valuable. That it's a gift, and that one day I'm going to give an account for the life that I've lived. That I'm going to have to explain what I've done. I have this feeling inside of me that I owe someone for the life that I've lived. And I don't know how I'm going to repay them. Right? It's the story of scriptures that this life is a gift, and that God has created us for a purpose to praise Him. And instead of doing what I'm supposed to do, so often I've been selfish and I've been consumed with me, and I have caused, with my own sin, hurts in myself, hurts around me, and polluted God's world with my poisonous, toxic sin. And I need peace from that. I need the peace from the fact that I don't know what to do about all that I've done, and probably in the things that I know that I'm going to do, you know, things I don't even know that I'm going to do. And so this message of peace, like, what is it talking about? It's just this angelic declaration of a promised peace that has been longed for. The kind of peace that is going to not just remove these conflicts, but also make them whole. Isaiah, we've already read some from him. Isaiah 9, he says this thing. He says, for every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah is talking about this one who's going to come, this Prince of Peace who's going to come. And it's not, this prince is not going to just stop war. This child is not just going to remove conflict. This Prince of Peace is going to restore things how they're supposed to be. See, we can have this sentimental idea of peace. It's a thing that we hear so often this time of year. It shows up in a bunch of different, even secular Christmas songs. This morning I found out, I was looking this up, that David Bowie and Bing Crosby did a Christmas song together. Bowie's trying to promote his like latest album. If you don't know David, you know what? Stay with me. David Bowie, he shows up to see Bing Crosby, who's just like the, you know, the most, like he's straight. Bowie shows up with hair like a different color, like an orange color, wearing lipstick that matches his wife's, right? And he shows up to do this promotion, and he's like, hey, we're going to sing a song together. And Bowie's like, are you serious? And he's like, yeah. And Bing's like, let's sing Little Drummer Boy. And David Bowie says, I hate that song. Can we do something else? And so they go right up Peace on Earth and Little Drummer Boy mashup. That exists in the world. We sing about it, even David Bowie and Bing Crosby sing about it, Peace on Earth. And I love the idea, but the reality is I need more than the absence of conflict. And the biblical notion of peace is so much bigger, than so much deeper and richer than the absence of conflict. It's not just the absence of conflict, it's a repair of what has been broken. It's not just me not fighting with that person anymore. It's that relationship restored to what it was always intended to be. It's wholeness. It is completeness. It is fulfillment. So when these angels come and say peace on earth, goodwill towards men, what they're talking about is not just a removal of conflict, but a wholeness and a restoration. And what they're talking about is a restoration with our relationship with God. This absolute fixing of this relationship. David says this weird thing at some point. This is a king. He's way before this. Jesus comes from his line. But he says this weird thing in one of the psalms that he writes. He's done some horrible stuff. Horrible stuff. And he writes in this psalm to God, I against you and you alone have I sinned. And it's just a weird thing to read because you know about all the bad stuff that he did. You're like, dude, you sinned against other people too. you were awful. What David is saying is that all of the things that we do wrong, when we wound one another, the ultimate one that we are responsible to is God. And what the angels show up singing is, the things that you've done wrong, the people that you've hurt, you've also wounded God. And this child is shown up to do something about that, not just to remove the hostility, but to make that relationship whole. This African bishop wrote in one of his sermons, he says, the strength of Christ created you, but the weakness of Christ recreated you. He fashioned us in his strength, and he came looking for us in his weakness. He becomes flesh. This is God become killable so that we can have, so that he can stand in our place, and somehow his death counts for what I owe to God. That I can have peace with God, not by earning it, but just because this baby exists and I follow this baby. I belong to this child, this Jesus. We are enemies of God, and the promise of these angels to these shepherds, these normal, everyday people just doing their job, is that sense that you feel that you're not right, something's been done about it. This child has arrived, and in this weak appearing child, there is great healing, and that relationship with God is healed. We have that, and then what happens in that immediate healing of our relationship with God, because he no longer looks at us and sees our sin and brokenness, but he sees Jesus and what he has done. Not because he doesn't love us, but he sees that resume, and he loves us because of what his son has done and paid that cost for us. And then we are now free to now go fight for peace in all the other places that we need it. In my own thinking, in my own feeling, in my relationships. And once I know that my relationship with God is right, there's peace there, well, then all these thoughts that I struggle with, all these things that I know that I've done, I now begin to apply the gospel light in all of these ways and become transformed. And these relationships become transformed as I learn to absorb pain and suffering for good, and to see relationships transformed, to work to heal things that I previously, honestly, in my flesh, just wanted to see die and go away. Relationships just go away. But no, to seek reconciliation. Not that it'll always come till Jesus returns, but we wait with great hope. So what's great about this? What's great about this? What's such good news about this in our modern world? Is that the salvation, the good news, comes from outside. If you pay attention to the modern world, to modern messages, to what I read in the newspapers or what I read in online stuff, so much of what we are told is salvation comes from within. That's almost the modern creed of today, is you are enough. You ever heard that? You're enough. Here's the good news. You're not. You're not good enough. You're not enough. You need something else. The good news is not that you're enough. The good news is that one who is has come from outside to make you enough. But I'm not enough. Because being told over and over again, hey, Chris, you're enough. Just stay as you are. You know what you need to do? You just need to be vulnerable. You need to be brave enough to say that you're enough. Then you can be vulnerable and then the shame will go away. It does not work. Not if you've actually done bad things. It does not work. And so you just try, like, oh, I guess I just got to believe I'm enough. I just got to believe I'm enough. And it's exhausting and it doesn't work. The good news is you're not enough and God loved you enough to come and die to make you enough. It's such a wonderful antidote to the terrible messaging of the world that knows that it needs saving, but's trying to find the salvation inside. Oh, here's the good news. You can give up on that. It does not work. But a Savior has come to love you, to care for you, to make you enough. Peace with God is just received by faith in this one who came. It's not achieved. So what happens is, like, we have this assurance that replaces all of our striving to be enough. This assurance that it does not depend on my resume, but on what He has done on my behalf. Life is no longer driven by any kind of self-justification. Oh, like, I think that's probably the thing that, when I'm running, the worst part is the constant self-justification. I've got to go to prove to all these people I have beef with that I'm right. Everything would be okay if they would just admit that I'm right. You know what I'll do? I'll go argue with them. And then I begin an argument in my head. Next thing you know, I'm running a pace that I can't sustain because I'm angry. My heart rate shot through the roof because I just need to justify myself. I'm not wrong. You are. When you know that you are wrong, I don't need to prove myself. I don't need them to declare me righteous, that I've been declared righteous by Jesus. This peace begins to work in our heart. It's not immediate. It's a lifetime of wrestling until He returns and makes that new as well. But this assurance replaces all this striving and no longer driven by this fear or this need to constantly justify myself. And this forgiveness that we receive from God, it begins to produce. If you want to know if you've received it, here's how you can tell. That forgiveness begins to produce in your heart things like humility, courage to have conversations that are difficult and know the outcome's not always dependent on you. And you become more generous because you hang on to the things of this world less tightly because you don't need them as much as you did before. And this hope anchored in Christ's return when full peace will arrive in our lives and in the world, and not just the absence of conflict, but everything will be made new. This longing begins to drive us, to give us hope, and it changes us. The reason, though, that we are so resistant to this, even though it's so beautiful, the reason that I find that I'm so resistant to this is that I want this peace without submitting to this king. I still want to be in charge. Can I have this peace and still be in charge? No, Chris, you being in charge is how you got in this mess in the first place. All this brokenness in your heart comes from your need to control everything. How can you have peace when you're constantly fighting and constantly controlling? Yeah, no, I want that. I would like to have all the things to be in charge, but also the peace. That's not how it works. It's this submitting our lives to this king. So the angels appear, the shepherds, they go. What a wild scene that must have been, right? To show up in Bethlehem, small little town, not very many people, probably didn't have much trouble finding at all. This new baby being born, like, hey, is a baby even born? Like, yeah, baby's right over there. So they go and they knock on the door. And they're like, they open the door and they're like, what's up? There's some shepherds here. And they're like, yeah, we've come to see the baby. They're like, who told you there's a baby? And they're like, you're not going to believe this. Angels. Angels told us. And they begin to relay the message of what they heard about who this child is. And they're like, yeah, I guess come on in. You know what I mean? Right? Like, you guys smell bad, but like, come on in. And so this is what happened. They go and they see this king and they leave rejoicing. They leave rejoicing at what they've been told, at what they've seen, glorifying God and praising him for the all that they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. When you find out who he is, when you realize what you need and who he is and what he's like, and we learn to submit our lives to him, to give our lives over to him, to have his resume instead of our resume, to stand before God whole, that healing process begins. It's your whole life, and sometimes it feels like you've taken two steps backwards for every step you take forward because there's so much going on in my heart. I don't want to put that on you, but in mine. As he begins to claw control from you so that he can give you peace. As he begins to just claw selfishness away from you so he can give you peace. To claw away from you my constant obsession with me so that he can give me peace. This is what I want, wholeness, completeness. This is what I long for. And this is one of the beautiful things about this season is that we constantly think, or we're made constantly aware by the lights that we see, by the celebrations that we attend, by the conflicts that we encounter because of the season, that we need outside help. And has come as a child to show us the way, to be the way, so that we can have this peace with God, immediate peace with God, and then let it begin to transform us in the world. Yeah? Let's pray. Father, you are good. I long for this peace in my heart. I long to know, to live out the reality that I have peace with you. That is a fact because of my faith in Christ. That is a done deal. That you count me as righteous because my debt has been paid. That in your mercy has provided what your holiness has demanded in Jesus. That he has stood in our place. I am so aware that I am not enough. What your son is. And so as I understand more deeply, as I meditate, as we think about as a church, as we dwell on and apply the reality that you have made us whole, our relationship with you is cemented. It is firm. Nothing can tear it apart because of faith in Jesus. Let that also, that reality begin to work out in my thinking, in my feeling, in my relationships, in my family, in this church, and around this city, so that we become non-anxious presence, a non-anxious presence in a world drowning in anxiety because of the peace that we know that we have with you. I know it's a battle. I know it's a fight in my heart, but it's a spiritual fight that you've equipped us for. So give us the courage and give us the strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.